Hello to you, friends at Sunderland Elim Church on Durham Road there. I have passed by, but I've not been in the building yet, but I'm sure that will happen. And I come to you live from, live at the moment, this is going to be recorded, of course, from Kingdom Life Church in Newcastle, your sister church, your sister Elim Church here in Newcastle. And I greet you from your brother and sisters here, and let you know that we are praying for you. Even today in our prayer meeting, we were praying for you. And I realize this, that you're experiencing loss at the same time as you're anticipating a new day as well. And we pray that God will be everything that you need at this time. And as you go through transition, and as you go through transition at the same time as loss, then it's very difficult. But with the hope and promise of a new day and all that's coming beyond this period in the history of the church, and for individuals, of course, that make up the church. So I want to bring a message of hope to you today that even transcends this life. We know that, that Christianity offers social lift and offers great benefits and great things on this earth, but none of it can possibly compare with what's coming after this life. And I heard a story just this week. A preacher was saying, speaking about the thief on the cross who died, was crucified the same day as Jesus was. And we know when we read the narrative about it that he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him and said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." And the preacher went on to say, I wonder what happened when he got to the gates of heaven and, you know, was talking about how he'd made it there. Can you imagine the last day of his life, and he makes it to eternity forever? And the preacher said, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, but with great meaning, I suppose, that maybe the thief on the cross on arriving in heaven said, I've no idea how I've made it here, except the man on the middle cross said that I could come. And that's a very powerful thought, isn't it? Because it's true of all of us, really. We make it because of what he did and what he has said with regard to salvation, not what we've done, not through our own merit. I want to read to us from Revelation 21, 1-5. It says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who is seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" So if you've never met me before, I'm sure I've been introduced some way to you this morning, but I'm Pastor John Bullock, the lead pastor of the Kingdom Life Church, the Elim Church here in Heaton in Newcastle. I haven't always been a pastor. I haven't always been a Christian. I certainly came the way of grace. I was in the Royal Navy when I was 16. I had no Christian background. I was a big sinner by the time Jesus came into my life. And I came off these words. I was in a church in Blackpool. I'd been invited, didn't know what to expect. But the speaker said that night, Jesus will take you as you are. It was my only hope because I knew I couldn't clean my life up. I knew I didn't need anybody to tell me I was a sinner, to convince me. I knew I was. I knew I'd done a lot of things wrong in my life. But the fact that he would take me as I am is the same with regard to what we're talking about, the thief on the cross, isn't it? The man on the middle cross said I could come. And that began a new journey for me and a new life for me. And that's been many, many years now. And we've been pastors in Wales for many years and also missionaries for a total of 9 years, missionaries in East Africa, living in Tanzania and ministering throughout that region. So here we are in Newcastle, and I can say this, it's been difficult at times, but it's been an incredible life, an incredible adventure for Debbie, my wife and I, and lots of great things I could tell you today. But I repeat, none of them compare with what's coming beyond this life. You see, I've been considering these things lately, that one day we will walk upon a new earth. And most of us don't think about that. But in the reading I brought us from Revelation 21, the disciple John saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. And he visually saw that in the spirit realm, I guess, to it digested within him. And I know this, that this new earth will be a perfected version of what is here now and how the earth was before the fall. So it's going to be a perfected version. So anything beautiful we see now, anything of splendid nature that we can digest now won't even compare to what's coming in the future on the new earth. God is making everything new. Included in that is a new version of you, if you choose to accept his will. And if we can live on the old earth, as we do now, in victory, in anticipation of living on the new earth forever, we will have abundant life at the highest level. That can't be beaten. If you are born again, then you can look forward to the following in the next life, that every single day forever will be magnificent forever and forever. And often in scripture where forever is, it forever is forever, isn't it? But it then adds and ever, forever and ever. It's trying to put home to us and emphasize this never ends. What Jesus purchased for you and me at Calvary is never going to end. You were consciously alive forevermore. In Psalms 115, verse 16, it says, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the human race. He's given it to man. The earth he has given to the human race. This means the new earth as well. We will live consciously on an earth that is paradise to us, but nevertheless it will be a life that resembles this one. I want you to understand that what God has designed for us is going to be beyond your wildest dreams. When people pass from this life who know the Lord and go to heaven, it begins at that point. It's beyond our wildest dreams. Hallelujah. We will enjoy an advanced version of this life, albeit in a new eternal body. We will be fully aware that the eternal life that we've got will never be disrupted or spoiled in any way. We will live in the reality of no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, and that's going to last forever and forever. We have to let our imaginations go there sometime to see that when Jesus purchased us, when the man on the middle cross said we could go, then we were born again into something that's unimaginable for the brain as it is in our emotional state, as it is in a fallen world, in fallen man. But it's nevertheless true. So no matter what happens in this world, the kingdom of God that we believers belong to must give an example now of what it will be like then. The main reason the church exists is for eternity. It's not for this life. It's for eternity. And we, as we adopt kingdom principles, can show the result of what it's like to live as a kingdom citizen, as a Christian on this earth now, which is, when it's lived properly, it's an incredible attraction to the lost. So we can only live this imperfectly, we know that. But the more the church fulfills its responsibility to live as kingdom citizens, the more the world will see what God's eternal intent is, and they'll see it through us believers. We need to have a shift in thinking until we create a new gatekeeping thought that will birth multiple thousands of thoughts out of that one, out of a, if you like, gatekeeping thought, a new mindset. How often do you think about heaven? How often do you think about the next life? How often have you pondered that God is creating a new earth for a reason? I'm sure we'll be able to travel, you know, heaven and earth are coming down. That when we say heaven, we're going to experience what heaven is, and we're going to experience what life on the new earth is. It's forever. And so often we believers are thinking about, how do we get answered prayer for so-and-so? How do we, rightly so, how do we do this? How do we reach people? And we lose sight of the real reason that we're Christians. It's because we're going to live forever. The alternative is just unthinkable. But by the grace of God, if we are born again, that we pass from this life, we go into eternal bliss. And it will be consciously enjoyed. It won't be something that's mystical, that you just exist forever. You're going to consciously enjoy it. We need to have a shift in thinking then, and put that out. What has Jesus prepared for us when we die? Well, he tells us this, and it's in Scripture: store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. The better we serve him now, the more treasure we will have in the next life. I'm convinced of that. Jesus is going to take delight in revealing our treasure to us. Imagine when he shows us. As somebody who loves us, he's going to delight in that. We'll all have some treasure, but I believe some will have more than others. And I'm not talking about gold coins here. I mean, I don't know what that treasure is going to look like, but I know it's going to be good. So live in such a way to let your faith in the future guide how you live in the now. Heaven should not be mystical. You're not going to float around on a cloud with chubby cheeks, you know, it's depicted, isn't it, sometimes, spending an eternity learning how to play the harp. I hope you said phew at that point. I'm glad about that. When the Bible says about eternity, it's speaking of it exactly as it's going to be. Apostle Paul said he knew a man, probably himself, who went there. And what he went to paradise, he said. And what he saw is not able to tell it. It's not, he shouldn't and couldn't tell. It was so amazing, he can't tell it. So heaven is a place. And I'm sure we will be able to transfer, as I say, between the new heaven and the new earth. They are linked because the new heaven and the new earth both come down. Read that scripture again, Revelation 21. We will certainly live on a new earth. It will be beyond amazing, made so by the absence of the negative and the presence of the extreme positive. We will live in houses. We will have wonderful relationships with everyone. We'll be productive. We'll never stop learning. We'll continually be exploring and maximizing our lives forever and forever. Everything legitimate you have dreamed of but had to postpone on earth will be yours in heaven. Immediately, as you hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," and I know some of your fellowship have heard those words in recent times, eyes will pop open and our minds will be blown by what Jesus has prepared for us. We will in time meet up with every family member and believer that we've ever known. I think our first reaction as we reunited will be aloud in unison. We made it and it's forever. Can you imagine that? You will enjoy the company of biblical greats such as Abraham, King David, the original apostles, Deborah, Esther, the three Marys, and all the greats that have served Jesus over the centuries, the John Wesleys of history, etc. More than that, you will be in the presence of Jesus forever. Heaven is filled with great people, and people continue to be people. It's people who go to heaven. It's people who will live on the new earth and travel through the heavens, no doubt. It's people. God created people. We'll be a magnificent version of this fallen state, but it'll still be us. It's you that's going. It's you that will waken up there. It's you that will experience a new body. It's you that will see people from your history. It's you who will be able to spend time listening to the Apostle Paul. It's you who will be asking Peter, what was it like to walk on the water? You're going to heaven and you're going to live on the new earth. One day that's coming to all of us. For those who've gone ahead already, they'll be waiting for us. It's beyond this life. It's so hard to grasp, isn't it? It's so hard to take ourselves there. But we need to be reminded what Scripture says. We need to meditate on it. We need to respond to it in our thinking and take our minds there. And the more we do so, the smaller this world will become to us and the greater that world will be. I truly believe this, that we ought to be aiming to and enjoying living our lifespan out on earth. But at the same time, this is nothing compared to where we're going. And I trust that in thinking and pondering what Jesus bought for us for eternity, we'll give more of our lives to him now. We'll serve him. We'll be churches that have evangelism at the heart of all that we do, even if it's simply rescuing people on their last day on earth and they arrive there and have to say the same as the thief on the cross, the man on the middle cross said I could come. Amen. God bless you. Hope to see you in person soon. Praying for the new day that's coming with a new pastor. And God bless you richly from all of us here at Kingdom Life Church in Newcastle. God bless.